fit the theme. So do you really believe in Jesus?
Amen.
He prayed for God to sanctify us through his word. He shed his blood on that old cross to make us holy, to sanctify us. You see, the creator of the universe is in the business of transforming common, sin-corrupted human beings into saints. Yeah, you notice something's missing. I tried to put it in. If those of you keep thinking, you know, keep making, somewhere I missed a line. Do you know how many times I looked at that? God is in the business, the creator of the universe. That's a phenomenal universe, isn't it? He's in the business of transforming sin-corrupted, common, ordinary human people, humans, into saints. There's a TV program. It's an HGTV, you know, Love It or List It. How many of you have ever seen Love It or List It? Love It or List It, you know, it's a program about a family that they've gotten tired of their house. It's either gotten too small, or they've been there a long time, or there's some things they've just, and they get weary. And in this, they encounter two consultants. One's a real estate agent, and one's a design consultant. And the real estate agent starts showing them, listening to what they want, and showing them houses that they could buy and get exactly what they want. But then there's this design person that comes and tells them how they can take their common, ordinary house, renovate it, and make it a castle that's going to meet their needs for much less cost, and actually, in the long run, improve the value of that house when they finally do get ready to sell it. Well, God is not in the listing business. Did you know that? God isn't, he doesn't, at the end of the program, they have an option either to list their house and buy or have their house renovated, okay? And God's not in the listing business. He's in the transforming business. He takes us just like we are. Messed up. And usually these programs, you know, there's something that's, you know, somebody previous or in the construction, something wasn't quite done right. Has anybody found a building that's been done right all the way through? Right? Yeah, like that slide, you know, that always has it right. We all have a way of messing up, right? God is not in the listing business because we messed up. God's in the transforming business. God's transforming work is called sanctification. It's shaping us. It's making us holy. The product is holiness or holy lives. I'm wanting to define holiness this way: single-hearted devotion to God through our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. This really does get reflected in Jesus' identification of the greatest command in all of the Bible. It's this one: the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That sounds so simple. I just love you with all my heart. Do you really? Do you really? Your spouse, your kids, your parents. Loving God. Yeah, this is a pretty big challenge. It's a demanding, exacting, difficult order. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, we all enter the world with a heart bent towards sin. A spirit of resistance to the lordship of Jesus, Romans chapter 7. A propensity to selfishness. The ancient prophet Isaiah described it this week. We're like a bunch of sheep who have strayed away. We've left God's paths to go our own way. Sound familiar? Want to do it my way. Have you dealt with a preschooler and the famous words are, I do? Some days it's great, and some days you're going, no. Because they need training. And some days we are pretty childish, aren't we? Another prophet, somewhat contemporary, put it this way. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Older translation said, desperately wicked. That's not just bad. That's bad. You know, there's bad and then there's bad. Well, we're bad. The heart. So go back to loving God with all your heart. When we've got this propensity, this divided heart, this, you know, some days we're this, some, you know. That creates a real problem. Loving God with all of our heart, single-hearted devotion to God. This requires a transforming work of God in our lives. And friends, you can't do it by yourself. I can't do it by myself. The best teacher, the best pastor in the world cannot do it for you. They're working with Jay Spangler, you know, deep brain stimulation electronics and down to this packet, and they'll program it and it stimulates. It's going to take 6 months to a year to get it programmed. I wish in my life God could get me programmed that good in 6 months to a year. Scripture says, as wonderful as we think we are, we're needing this transforming work in our lives. And God loved us so much, he sent his Son into the world to provide full salvation and make us holy people. Look at some objectives of the work of the Apostle Paul. I think they're sort of descriptions of the sanctified life. Conformed to the likeness of Christ. Until Christ is formed in you. Or the statement, we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Of Jesus. In the denomination, we're using the phrase right now as a theme, Christ-likeness. And I've sort of struggled with that term. First place, I can never be totally Jesus to someone. I'm human, human, human. And Jesus was fully God, fully man. You see, I want to reach out and touch Jay and he's healed. I want to reach out and touch John Shuey and get him back on his feet. Jesus could do that. And once in a while, through the Holy Spirit, he still does healings. Most of the time, my experience is, I can't say that I've seen these great, phenomenal, turnaround, miracle healings. I've seen the long-term work of God in lives. I've experienced it. To think that human beings have the ability to do what they're doing with Jay Spangler, Kathy thinks there might be hope for me in the tremor I have once in a while. But when we set that aside, the Scriptures talks about conformed to the likeness of Jesus. Until Christ is formed in you. That's a big work. I'm reading a biography. It's a novel biography of the life of Winston Churchill right now by Michael Dobbs. And in there, he's got this character who is a pastor in England about the time Churchill became prime minister. He's frustrated, and this poor pastor, his wife has died, his son's gone off to war, and you can just see the turmoil within him. And there's this line about this minister that just sounds like so much of religion that I see practiced by many Christians. Reverend Chichester was not a wicked man, but he knew he was a dishonest man. For while he preached duty as being the way to salvation, he was aware that the only thing duty had delivered unto him these past years was unhappiness and a feeling that his soul had been placed on a bed of ice where it had somehow become frozen, unable to move. Have you ever felt that way? Duty, got to do it better, got to. Religion of duty. And so the scripture becomes a manual of how you got to do it better. And no matter how you do it, you just never quite totally measure up. There's just something inside. And you wonder what's going on. But here we come back to this work of God sanctifying us. I've been preaching this for, this is the third week of that. This is one phase of this whole series I'm wanting to do on sanctification. God's, it's the work of God doing work. God sanctifying us through our faith in Christ Jesus as Lord, by the blood of Jesus. The next two are by his word, by the Holy Spirit. God working in us. Let's just look at that third one. God sanctifies us through his word. Jesus prayed, sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth. Now, let me just say to you again this week. I've said it before. I've said it many times. Let me just sort of keep hammering it through. Truth for Christians is centered in the person of Jesus as proclaimed in the Bible. For Christians, it's not a philosopher, it's not a system, it's not a document. It's a person, Jesus. Jesus as proclaimed in Scripture. John identifies Jesus as the living Word of God. The fourth book of the New Testament, Gospel according to John, the Gospel of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And he goes on, that Word is none other than the person of Jesus Christ. So what's Jesus saying when he says, Father, sanctify them through the truth, your Word is truth. And a little bit later, John, writing about Jesus, records this statement of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I don't just point to truth. I just don't teach it. I am the truth. And of course, a little bit later, he deals with that Governor Pilate. Pilate's putting on front. And Jesus informed Pilate he was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. In fact, Jesus said, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Jesus is the living, transforming Word of God. Sanctify them through the truth. Your Word is truth. That same writer a little bit later writes a letter to the church. In fact, he writes three of them. And in there, he says, God is light. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. You see, the light of God's word identifies holy living. The psalmist said, your word is a light to my path. Right? How do we do that? We read it in the Word. Back when God called me to this work of pastoral ministry, He laid on my heart, I'm a teacher of the Word. As we read the Word, I'm glad we've still got that old Bible. Sometimes I wonder, that thing's getting awfully old and it looks sort of rugged, and we don't turn the pages too fast anymore. But I choose it on purpose. I've chosen it. Sometimes I thought, maybe we get out of it. Nah, it's an old one. It represents the Word, the written Word that proclaims the living Word. And as we read it and as we study it, that's why I keep saying, read the Scripture, read the Scripture, read the Scripture. It identifies infection, mold, and dirt in our hearts and in our minds. Don't have time to get into it. There's a difference between heart and mind in the Scripture. They are not synonymous. Definitely overlap. They are not synonymous. Two different things. The light of God's Word reveals infection, mold, bad thinking, dirt, sin, conviction. But as we submit to God and make corrections, John says God cleanses our hearts. That is, He sanctifies us by the blood of Jesus. It's a transforming word. It's a changing word. If you've read it very much, it's a stretching word. God is light. Yes, God sanctifies us through our faith in Jesus as Lord. He sanctifies us by the blood of Jesus. He sanctifies us by the Word. The living Word, Jesus, as proclaimed in the written Word, the Scripture. But He also changes us by the Holy Spirit. And this is where duty takes on life. Jesus taught a new provision of God in the new covenant. It was the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit had been present all throughout Scripture. The Holy Spirit was present in the beginning. In the very first few verses of the Bible, the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the earth. The Holy Spirit is present and active in the Old Testament through the priests and kings. But in this new provision, Jesus says, there's the work of the Holy Spirit. He will come as an advocate, as a counselor, one who walks alongside. He is with you, and He will be in you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will testify about Jesus. That's why as we read the Scripture, it's one thing to read it as a school book, as a law book. But if you really want to understand the Word, you've got to read it empowered by the Holy Spirit. You can't understand it outside of the work of the Holy Spirit. The best teacher in the world will fall short until you let the Holy Spirit reveal Jesus to you through the Word. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Who is truth? Who is truth? Who is truth? You're waking up. You're doing well. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus by telling you whatever He receives from Jesus. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us, the overlooked person of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, taught as a new provision of God. Listen to Jesus' final instruction to His disciples before His ascension into heaven, recorded in the first chapter of the book of the Acts. Do not leave Jerusalem, friends, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to those people, that was local town, neighboring community, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit will make a change in us. I've gone through classes trying to learn how to witness. They didn't work. What they did is taught me how somebody else did it. I've tried to teach others as one who never quite figured it out myself. Have you caught on yet? Sharing Jesus is not a sales pitch. It's not even a set of arguments for all people's answers. It's the sharing of a person. Jesus Christ. And when we let him make a difference in us, we'll make a difference in our world. The sanctifying work of God is a work of God in our lives. And notice that great, phenomenal instruction of Jesus, wait. Don't you love it? For the gift of my Father. It's not something you work for. It's a gift. You're not rich enough to buy it. And you're not wonderful enough to deserve it. It's a gift of God that'll transform our lives. Acts chapter 2 records the inauguration of this new provision of the Holy Spirit to all believers. The book of Acts records the early days of God's church engaging in the mission of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the book of Acts in the original is just Acts. And so there's debate. Is it the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the church, or is it the Acts of the church and the apostles empowered by the Holy Spirit? Guess what? Yes. And so writers, the ones who collected the scripture, they just gave it this simple title, Acts. Now, other times, let's try to bring it up to date and make a wonderful, interpret it for us. It's the Acts. You want to read about the early days of the church and wonder how they did it? Just read the book of Acts, 28 chapters, story after story, the work of God. And now, the scripture says God instructs us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, you're calling a new pastor. We've done the profile work, important. We've got good leaders. But I've been asking you to pray, and the board has asked you to pray. And in the middle of figuring all of the stuff and how do you do it and all the good systems, would you take time to wait before God? Because God, the Holy Spirit, is working his work, his work, his work in our lives. And when we let him do his work in our lives, we'll see change. When we try to do our work to impress God, we will fail every stinking time. Are you ready? But I challenge you today, there's a work of God by the Holy Spirit that we cannot do by ourselves. It's the transforming work of God through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. You got the whole Trinity? It's there. It's the work of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit is a sanctifying gift of God to everyone who believes in Jesus and follows him as their Lord. The Holy Spirit transforms holiness from duty and obligation and doctrine to authentic, vibrant Christian life as God designed it. Listen to some of the scriptures that talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in sanctification. This one's from the Apostle Paul. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved. How? Through a nice, miraculous No, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. The Apostle Peter said, to God's elect, strangers in the world who have been chosen. Have you catching that yet? Chosen by God. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. How? Through the sanctifying, transforming work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling by his blood. It doesn't say you become perfect and then God blesses you with this anointing of the Holy Spirit. No, he says he come as you are, messed up life. Don't list it. Let me love it. And he gives the Holy Spirit empowering us for transformation. It's God working in us. God, the phenomenal creator of the universe. Luke, the physician, recording the work of the early days of the church, makes this quote from St. Peter. God, who knows the heart. See, God's the one that really does know our hearts. He knows it more than we do. Let me just give you a hint. Sometimes I think I know my heart. God is the one who really does know. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted these Gentiles by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified. Didn't just clean it up. He purified. He just didn't sort of bless it. He purified. Have you got it yet? He purified their hearts by faith. It's the work of God in us. Who were the Gentiles? If you weren't a Jew in that day, you were a Gentile. That's us. Coming back to the Apostle Paul. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What are some areas that God's shaping in your life? You say he's not? Well, then you better get back on your knees or get ready, because next week God's going to bring something about. He's going to deal with you. He's in the transforming, shaping business. Isn't that neat? That's sort of tough for some of us to want to think we're all put together and have all the answers for all things. And looking for the t-shirt that says we've got it. God is in the transforming business. This was no happen chance. Centuries before Jesus, the prophet Ezekiel had this word of the Lord God. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship false gods. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender, responsive heart. I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my commandments. God working in us. I will put my spirit in you. Have you submitted yourself? Over the next few weeks, I'm going to be talking about how do we receive this. I'm going to talk about some myths of what it's supposed to look like. Because too many times we've tried to look for signs and we've missed the giver and the heart. God sanctifies us through our faith in Jesus as Lord, by the blood of Jesus, by his word, by the Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed for us to be sanctified. Danita, let's sing that song. It's Jesus, all for Jesus. Couple of things I had in mind. I think we just stop there. Had an illustration, but I don't want to get rushed with it. I take that at another time. Jesus, all for Jesus. Just invite you to join with Danita team as they lead us in song. And would you just reflect on